Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
After our church's short break to celebrate, remember and rejoice in Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday, we continue today with a sermon related to Session 7 of our church study, Discipleship Explored, using the New Testament book of Philippians. I'm using the titles of each of the 8 sessions, if you haven't been following the course. Confident in Christ. We can be confident that God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion. Because God is at work in us, we won't be passive. We'll want to respond by growing in our knowledge and love of Him. Living in Christ. After having left behind his life of rule-keeping as a Pharisee and surrendering his life to Jesus, Paul's life became all about knowing Jesus himself and making him known to others. I wonder, are we living in Jesus and for Jesus? Are we known as his followers and disciples? Or are we just rule-keeping like Paul before his conversion? Do we have a real relationship with our risen Lord and Saviour? One in Christ. In our passage today, Paul names two women, Euodia and Syntyche, who had contended at his side as co-workers in spreading the gospel, but they were now at odds with one another. Wouldn't they have been ashamed to know that their disagreement was being read and preached about 2,000 years on? Oh my goodness. I wonder what would happen if our leader, Max, chose to expose those in our church family who aren't loving one another as they should. Wouldn't that make us all more aware of how we behave? By the way, I'm not suggesting that Max does that, but I do think we all need to consider our behaviour towards one another. We're called to love. We're not to judge or criticise. After all, we are all God's children, disciples in the making, and no one has been made perfect yet apart from Jesus and those who have died in Christ. Would we want to be the one who is named as causing dissension or friction in the church? Paul says in Romans, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith God has given you." And in Galatians 5, he says, "Serve one another humbly in love." I wonder if there's anyone listening who knows that they're holding a grudge towards a fellow believer, or anyone else for that matter. We cannot bear grudges and call ourselves sincere followers of Jesus. That's not consistent with the gospel of love that he shows us, the love that took him to suffer on the cross because of our sin. If we do bear a grudge for whatever reason, maybe we need to seek inner healing, perhaps even help from a counsellor. Obedient in Christ. This obedience mustn't attempt to earn our salvation. Jesus has already earned it for us. And Paul says, work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. Righteous in Christ. God will not accept any self-righteousness on our part, but when we put our complete trust in Jesus, what he has done for us on the cross, then we are covered by his righteousness. Transformed in Christ. Believers can forget what is behind because we know we are forgiven, and everything in our past is ultimately intended by God to make us more like Christ. Jesus is more valuable to Paul than anything. Paul wants to do whatever it takes to know Jesus better and become more like him. What about us? Rejoicing in Christ is the subject of this week's study and sermon. The phrase "in Christ" reminds believers that we are completely united with Christ when we turn to him in repentance. All that is his is ours. And finally, the last one, coming next week, content in Christ. Paul knew that deep contentment can be experienced regardless of how much or how little we have, because it's found in Jesus. There are only four short chapters in this letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, a church he had founded and he loved it dearly. In this letter, I counted, as I want to do, over 40 instances where Paul uses the expression "in Christ" or "in the Lord." These two words refer to the spiritual state of Christian believers. When we decide to follow Jesus, to turn away from sin and to become his disciple, we learn from him, and over time we become more like him. That is, if we remain in him. In John 15, Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, awaiting trial and possibly his execution, but he was able to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. Wow. But let's be clear. Paul said rejoice in the Lord and not in your circumstances. He said rejoice in the Lord always, not just when we feel like it. Our feelings can't be trusted. Our joy in the Lord is not dependent on our outward circumstances or our feelings. It's dependent on the unchanging love and presence of Jesus. When we focus on Jesus and what he has done for us by bringing us close to God through the forgiveness of our sins, then we can certainly rejoice like Paul, whatever our circumstances. But it's not easy. It's something we learn to do over time. It takes practice. We can't change our circumstances, but we can change how we think of them. We can begin to change our anxious thoughts to those Paul has listed in our passage today. He tells us, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we dwell on our problems, then we will not have peace. When we dwell on the promises of God and the love of God seen in Jesus, we will find peace. This letter is often called the epistle or letter of joy, and indeed Paul uses the words joy and rejoice repeatedly within it. I didn't count those though. Paul was able to rejoice because he says, "The Lord is near." Are you aware of the Lord's presence with you, or are you allowing your outward circumstances to override your peace? Are you anxious about something now? The answer is probably yes, since we are still dealing with a worldwide pandemic. And if that isn't enough, there were many anxieties before the pandemic, and most of them have not been resolved yet. But, says Paul, do not be anxious about anything. He doesn't say just don't be anxious. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I wonder whether you have ever watched The Repair Shop on TV. Colin and I love it. People take items that mean a lot to them, which have been broken or damaged in some way. The task of restoring the item is given to an appropriate gifted craft worker. The item is left in confidence and trust that the repair shop will be able to restore it. Many times the item is restored to an almost new condition that could not have been imagined by the owner. Isn't that a picture of prayer? Surely, as disciples of Christ, we should take everything to God in prayer, trusting that He is in control of all things and that He loves us and cares for us. And then Paul assures us that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the words of the very old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.